All right, GM everybody. Good morning. I am Hunter Orell, and we're back for another episode of the Morning Mint after a little bit of a hiatus going out to Denver. Things have been crazy, but we are back after about a week off. It is good to be back. We got a packed show, bunch of topics. It's a little all over the place, but we're going to be talking about the NFT market, especially ETH. Looking at the bounce back that we've had over the last 12 hours with that sell-off that we saw yesterday. And then I'm just going to talk about what I saw in Denver, what I'm excited for, a little bit of alpha, where I should be probably paying attention, a few different tokens that I've picked up over the last few days and why I'm still holding them. And then we'll talk a little bit about the meme coin market. It's good to be back. Feeling good. What's up, Twixie? Good to see you're here. Sorry I didn't see you in Denver. But let's hop into things right away. Good to be back. Market is back. If you missed yesterday's craziness, we had a crazy bounce down to some support levels. ETH dropping as far as down to almost 3,200. And Bitcoin back in the 50,000s was a little hectic. I was on a business call, and the call ended pretty much the second that first big sell candle hit. As you can see, most of majors have, every major has essentially recovered. ETH outperforming Bitcoin, which is to be expected. We have seen ETH lagging Bitcoin. A lot of people have different theories around which is going to have a better risk-reward return. It does seem that the ETF, as well as some of the other things around the Ethereum ecosystem, are allowing it to have this outperformance of Bitcoin because of how it is lagged with Bitcoin's performance with the ETF inflows. We are also keeping our eyes open for as we approach the halving. I think that's less than 50 days away at this point. It's probably like 40 something days away. And there's other even, you know, areas here. I'm just gonna like cut through a lot of things real quick and let everybody know that I talked to a lot of funds and I talked to a lot of angels. I talked to a lot of new funds. I talked to a lot of personal angel investors. The number one thing you need to understand is every single MFer in the space has become like we're allocating capital to Bitcoin. We're allocating capital to layer two developers for Bitcoin. We're allocating capital to DEXs building on Bitcoin. It is going to be such a whiplash moment, I believe, and I've said this on a lot of the other shows, that Bitcoin's getting more and more attention, and you know, this is the inflow for the ETFs, you have the halving, but every single fund I talk to is literally just saying, we're like, Bitcoin is a big thesis, we're deploying capital there, and I think for a lot of people, like, okay, well, I'm not going to be investing directly into like a DEX, that's a venture side, I don't play there. But you need to understand that you're going to find, like, not going and exploring that ecosystem, looking into different L2s, looking into different DEXs that are building on Bitcoin, actually downloading a Bitcoin wallet and transferring money there, you're going to miss so much opportunity. And it's probably going to require, like, I'll try to do it here on the show, but it's going to require you going on X, looking and seeing who's talking about Bitcoin and what trades and what different tokens are moving there, and then learning and going dabbling with the ecosystem, because it's very clear we're about to see a lot of money as these funds wrap up their raising over the next 2 to 4 weeks. Like, if you haven't finished and wrapped up funding by the beginning of April, you're kind of missing it. So there is going to be a lot of influx there. You're also going to see, because of this thesis, and we'll talk about that as well, the pressure for NFTs and ordinals on the Bitcoin network also getting that pressure. This all has to do with like the unlock of that capital that is sitting on Bitcoin. But you know, that's the alpha. Every fund that I talk to literally just screaming in my face, and that was their big thesis. Oh, well, we know the layer two system, we're gonna invest there, that's our edge. Understand that. That's a big one. So like one of the biggest takeaways from ETH Denver for me was super interesting. Real quick, rest of the market, Green Day, very different than yesterday. Meme coins also making their bounce backs off their lows. We'll see how they continue to perform. I think, again, the meme coin market was also pretty clear that in ETH Denver, the MOG people were out there screaming and shouting. It was good to see Banks and Ansem and everybody, Thread Guy, everybody who's out there just going off and doing their thing. Love it. But also, like, the meme ecosystem was very, very loud. M'lady meme, the parties were great. But I think the culture side to having something where people are, like, able to scream and shout about is understated. We'll talk about that. Deez has a great tweet around there. But yeah, rest of the market is looking decent. A lot of recovery in the market. Also nice to see Coinbase recovering from its pullbacks. Great buying opportunity yesterday on those lows, pulling back to about $215. The market that has not recovered, though, has been, unfortunately, ETH NFTs not doing so hot. And especially Bored Ape Yacht Club and Yuga assets not doing very hot. Bored Ape Yacht Club all the way down to 17.35 on the bid side, just under 18 on the floor. Munich Yacht Club, this is crazy, under mint price. A lot of people talking about that. Pudgy Penguins almost down 50% from their all-time high, sitting at a 13.7 floor. M'lady's holding. Azuki taking a pretty hard hit across the face. We're seeing all of the different ecosystems that are all the different projects and collections that had airdrop meta going for them and propping them up, basically pulling back. Like, the airdrops are done. So, like, I know Wazis have stuff coming with Wormhole. I literally picked up a fucking Wazi Wormhole thing while I was in ETH Denver. That, like, you squeeze it and the eyes go crazy. So I know Wazis have some stuff going. Loop Dart's done really well there, but the whole meta around us seeing the Sappy Seals, the Bored Ape Yacht Club got a little bit of love in there. Pudgy Penguins got a little bit of love for some airdrops. We saw, what else do we see? Wreck Guys were getting some airdrops. All of those are kind of pulling back. There isn't that support for those ecosystems, and the attention's rotated. And as much as I talk about attention rotation every show, and like, where is it now? Where is it going? Where did it leave? Where is it never coming back? Where do we think, like, it's going to flood from the current one? That's kind of where you need to be thinking right now. So, like, while ETH NFTs don't have this attention, I think it's very strong, and you should understand, like, it will come back. It's not like, oh, ETH NFTs are dead. I think AI art that is on ETH is very, very important, and I think there's an incredible buying opportunity. I've screamed about a line draw. I've screamed about Beef Broth Go. I've screamed about Claire Silver. I think Braindrops has done an incredible job curating art there. I think that narrative, that's like, hey, where's attention going? That's a great area to look. I also think on the other side of things, on like the PFP market, who raised money? Who has a ton of money and has not like made that big push? I think Azuki, I think Doodles, I think Bored Ape Yacht Club and Yuga as an ecosystem, like, they have capital to go and do large things. So there is a different risk reward scenario. However, within that attention economy, who has the hard narratives to push back on? I think Bored Ape Yacht Club and Pixel Vault and some other projects that have been dealing with this sell pressure on their ecosystem have to do something extremely, extremely different to make that attention come back in a serious way and to get that price direction switched around. But yeah, ETH NFTs, it's hurting. I don't think it's going to stay this way forever, but there are a lot of projects in here who they got their last pump and they're out. And so you need to be watching and seeing what they're doing. What is the project and founder doing to expand the ecosystem? And then, was the ecosystem purely a like brand and marketing play, or is there underlying culture, mechanics, et cetera, roadmap that are going to bring it back? And when money returns from this whole Bitcoin rotation and meme coin rotation, where is it going to flow? I talk a lot about the funnel and where is money moving. And make the joke that like at the bottom of every funnel is a punk. I still believe that to be true. Punk's brunch was a pretty strong indicator of like who's building and who the punk community are in person. That pretty much solidified, like, that thesis is still pretty true. But I do think that you're going to see a lot of new cycle, like, this is the punk. At this point, for me, it's no monkeys, right? Like, it really is the, hey, Bitcoin's about to have its moment. It's going to have an incredible cycle, all this activity there. And this is the number one asset. And you can make the comparables and watch like and study the previous ETH NFT market. And I think take a lot of that experience and push it back over to what is happening on this market, the NFT market or Ordinals market. So no monks, the puppets are also performing pretty well. Quantum, like everything's up here. That should be pretty evident. I think I would not jump into this ecosystem and be like, hey, this new project's minting and go buy it. As we saw last year or last cycle of ETH NFTs, not everything is gold. You're going to have to be very, very agile to be on the lookout for new things that are popping up to get those high returns. But I do think that this ecosystem has not seen the top yet. There's still a lot to come and there's still a lot of money to flow in. But yeah, keep this on your radar. Super excited for the entire market. And also really excited for more of the people that are watching the show and my normal kind of like group of people who are mainly Ethereum, mainly shitcoiners, mainly NFT buyers to start playing within the Bitcoin ecosystem, because I know I am. Let's just make a couple notes real quick. Again, Pudgy Penguins, I can show you the chart down here. That 28th floor that they were chilling at, it's eroded away. We've seen this with a lot of other projects, same timeline, pulling back. We've also seen that has hurt the loan market. We'll talk about that in 1 second, as well as the cascade of where capital's going. I do want to make one mention on the NFT side from ETH Denver. This is just something that I've noted. Everybody is pretty bullish here on the pandas. And I think that we're going to see more capital flow into the pandas. I think it's pretty evident that on the cultural and media side, if you have not looked, it is wild how they are putting out six-figure viewed videos on a weekly basis. They have people that are non-crypto NFT people interacting with their ecosystem. They have a founder who understands, is an entrepreneur and understands business, understands licensing, understands merchandising. And so I think this is a more niche down, a different age group and demographic, but it's a niche down version of what we've seen play out with Pudgies. I don't think they're scared of doing a token. I think that's a rumor that we're hearing everybody talk about, but I just want to highlight that because it was one that I did not dive deep enough into. And after coming out of Denver, I was like, all right, highlighted, noted, something I should be paying attention to in a more significant way. And there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. And just because it wasn't my cup of tea, like I'm not an MMA guy or fighter guy to the craziest extent, it is one that after looking at made me go, there's something happening here. So should be on the radar, super excited for them. And then as always, I like to talk about the punks. What are they doing? Market is down on the floor side, but we are seeing a lot of activity still on the rarer side of things. Obviously, we just had the alien sale, so that is a big, big highlight and brings a lot of attention to the ecosystem. But I do think there's still opportunity here. And I still think that the bull thesis that we are going to see these at $1 million floor makes sense, right? Like there's going to be more influx of capital, more buyers. We're going to see Ethereum definitely push towards the 10K number. I'm not going to make a price prediction, but I do think we continue to go up and break 4,400, 4,500 last all-time high. There's still like significance and cultural significance and social signaling within owning one of these PFPs. And as I said, I do see that the end funnel for like, where's money going? Like I take Ethereum, I buy a shitcoin, and that shitcoin then goes into the next mint, all that profit then eventually goes back to what's the grail, what's that flex after you make all this money. It usually is going to be a punk. It's evident by that because I saw people taking up loans to buy punks to attend events in Denver that were punk only events. I think, again, signaling their access to OGs and capital. As much FUD as I put out about what's happening on the NFT market and Ethereum market, some notes here. We did have the $60 million NFT sale of the Alien. We also saw a pretty significant sale for the Node Monkey at $600,000. They're still picking up steam. I think there's still demand. A lot of people are speculating that they're going to have that same run. We also saw that Fidenza sale. And we're also seeing the markets returning to all-time highs. Again, this is a few days old, but it shows just how much of a bull market and how hard we are pushing currently. I would love to note this, and I scream and shout about it. I'm an investor in Gandhi, so I do pay some serious attention to the loan market. If you aren't looking at the loan market currently, you're going to miss out. I'm telling you, we have a ton of people watching actually. So welcome. If you haven't watched the show yet, it's good to meet you. Good to be here. But I wish I could strangle every single one of you and just scream in the face, like, you need to understand the loan market for NFTs. It is going to be such a pivotal part of the market, especially if we start to go sideways. Like, let's say we're going sideways. People are still expecting higher prices on Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever it might be. People are not going to want to exit that asset. They're still going to want to have, like, let's just say punks, because it's the easiest one to do. People don't want to lose their punk. They've acquired it. Instead of selling it and putting sell pressure on the market or the floor pulling back or even having more items listed, I can go and I can get a 30 to 40% LTV on a punk and pay 10 to 20% APR and get that money out. And let's say the floor is 200 ETH or $200,000. I can pull out possibly $80,000 to $100,000 on that punk, depending on where I go and how I structure that and timeline. Like, it all matters. Like, that all plays into it. But understand, like, I can go deploy that capital and then return and get that same exact item that I did not want to give up and access that liquidity. And so accessing liquidity, accessing illiquid assets of underlying values is going to be an incredible, incredible bull thesis. And it's also going to prop up a lot of the bull market as we see things pushing further and further along. I also would love to highlight that with that cascade that we saw yesterday, we also started to see a lot of these loans start to get called and they get getting liquidated. I think it's worth paying attention to this market because there is a possibility for things to get more and more wrapped up. And if you are paying attention to where there's weakness or the potential for unraveling, you can get ahead of that or you can reduce your exposure. For example, and just this is the crazy part and where things get a little crazy, I can take a US dollar, I can go buy Ethereum, I can take the Ethereum, buy a punk, I can take that punk and pull a loan out against it. I can take that ETH or USD that I just pulled out of that loan and buy, let's just say I pulled out ETH, I can then take that ETH and take it to Swell and I can stake that Swell. Then I can take that Swell ETH and take that Swell ETH and put it into Eigenlayer and stake it there. There, just to understand, like, there are so many compounding areas there that there is risk and there is different exposure within the ecosystem that can play out that we have not seen before and you should be understanding. A little bit of a rant. Just my two cents and something I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. On also that ETH side, just again to put it into perspective, I know Bored Ape Yacht Club and Mutant Yacht Club people are pretty salty and they don't like getting drug on the timeline. Yes, we get it. Everything else is down, but again, it also opens up the opportunity for you to say, okay, Doodles still has 70 million that they've raised. They really haven't done much. There hasn't been an announcement. We know they're going against IP and music. Okay, it's a buying opportunity. You can do the same thing with Pudgies. You can do the same thing with Creeps because they have Portal. You could do the same thing with Azuki because they've been very loud about what they're doing on their side of things. Opportunity. Don't let the attention rotation and also don't let number going down mean, okay, theory invalid or thesis invalid. On the Bitcoin ETF side, just a couple notes here. We had a massive, massive day for inflows onto the Bitcoin ETFs. It's just getting stronger and stronger. I think it's still to my thesis of have we seen the craziest of it yet? No, there's still more to come, a lot more to come. And I do think that retail, as much as people are like, oh, retail's here, bull market's here, there are still so many people that don't manage their money or don't look at investments in a individualized way that have not bought in yet. they're waiting for their Fidelity broker to come to them and say, hey, Janice, we know that you have your retirement fund. We think that you should buy this product. It offers diversification. And have you seen how well Bitcoin has performed? And you can allocate one, like, that has not happened at scale. Again, fees, et cetera, are going to drive that. And I also think that trying to step in front of the moving boulder that is the Bitcoin ETF is pretty stupid. So more buy pressure to come there. And also, I think more people buying into these products and becoming familiarized with the ecosystem in a more, I think, isolated way, but it's a first step. So note there. And then back onto the topic of meme coins, etc. Before we hop into a bunch of things that I've found out at ETH Denver that I wanted to share with you all, is why is this meme coin market taking off currently? I had somebody at dinner last night give me a bunch of shit because they were in, I think, like Shiba. I forget what they are. They were in some meme coin. They're like, hey, I want to access something where that might perform a little bit better. Short term, yes, I told them rotate into the Sol. But then obviously that Shiba, all the meme coins popped off. And I think that when you look at retail coming back and you look at like, you know, these Reddit communities, these like shitcoiners, these like absolute degenerates, when they come back, yes, you can buy in size into Sol and Bitcoin and ETH that are going to perform well. They will go up into this bull cycle. But people also want to be like, okay, what can I do that like is a community, has culture around it? Like, to give you an example, I went to a couple of events, but I got this insane jacket for Mog. Like, I got this Mog one. Hold on. I got to do this. But, like, this... I can't do this on the screen. Getting shit like that, that's like this meme of, like, oh, like, I'm Moggin. Like, I'm going crazy. Like, I'm walking around the prop, like... It is culture. It is people saying like, you know, it's the middle finger. It's why rock and roll got really hot back in like the 80s and 90s. Like that was like the fuck you establishment to your parents. It's why rap and like everything is hot now. Like meme coins are kind of like that. Okay, like, all right, retail and Wall Street have come in and been like, okay, Bitcoin and Ether are cool now. Meme coins have now become that like, well, you can't take our memes. Like, fuck you. I think that narrative and that attention rotation only gets stronger and stronger, and I think the communities that are the bigger fuck yous to retail and to Wall Street only grow larger. And that's why, in my opinion, like Mog, Whiff, Pepe, Doge all continue to see buy pressure, and we've seen more people pulling into them. There's also, as Deez puts here, there's other areas around like, was distribution fair? Is there utility? Is there other things pushing it down? No, it's the same thesis on punks. Like, there is no roadmap for punks. The team can't fuck up. There is no roadmap for Pepe or Doe. Like, it's just there. It's a thing. It exists. And so if you can attach to that narrative and you like the culture, you'll see that perform well. I want to highlight a couple things from Denver real quick that caught my attention, that were super interesting. Might not be for everybody. But again, just like what's happening in the ecosystem when you go and talk to people and start to analyze things that are happening. Two that were very unique to me were WeatherXM and Demo, utilizing tokens in a little bit different way, also around physical items, but also how are people using the blockchain, selling data, utilizing data access, and then rewarding people that are providing data in a unique way. We've seen this with Grass for allowing unused internet access for people to get rewarded for that service or utility that they're providing. With WeatherXM, you can go on, purchase one of these weather stations, and then put that outside and essentially start earning their token for providing this information. Then WeatherXM turns around, they sell this data. The data can only be accessed through buying their token, and that obviously is the value trade there for whoever it might be trying to get this network information and then providing it back. I'm pretty excited to see things that are kind of pushing the standard for what we're seeing with the token side of things on the blockchain. The other one, obviously, as I just mentioned, was Demo. Demo is doing this similarly with cars they were essentially, you just plug in into your OBS a thing that allows you to show like how many miles you're driving, some of your driving behavior, but also like allows for you to share like what car it is, your year, etc. And then they're looking at other ways to expand into like mobility. So on top of cars, how else can you explore the mobility network? Also the same premise of you plug it in, you get tokens as you do this. The longer you do it, the more tokens you get. And then people can access this data. I think this theme was pretty strong at ETH Denver around how are people, again, utilizing data as a product and allowing people to get more utility, or at least just get paid for something that is already being collected in some way and adopting users in for various ways and reasons. The other one that I was blown away by, it was super interesting. I'm still trying to like fully wrap my head around, so I'm not going to give you the full technical explanation here, is IntMax. Essentially, the way that they're approaching this, and it, from a technical perspective, if you understand the way things are settled in layer one and layer two and Merkle proofs, this utilizes a lot of one-way Merkle proof structures that allow for almost gasless transactions. It's stuff like this that you start to see that are like pushing the boundaries of what we're used to seeing, and also rethinking the way things are approached, that gets me super excited. If anything, like, just have this on your radar, understand it's out there. Super cool stuff. Was glad to meet with them. And yeah, just worth noting. Also, on the token side, just some other things that kind of happened in the last couple days that I'm excited for. Still holding on to my YES token. Excited for this. We've seen the Blast ecosystem take a couple of shots as people are kind of like, all right, what's going on here? If you have not been looking at the Blast ecosystem, I think the two highlights for me, and again, like, there's been a lot of like people saying like, all right, like, what should I be buying on Blast ecosystem? For me, it's been YES. It's been Blastoise, which also launched yesterday. This has kind of been chilling out. We'll see how this performs. I did buy a decent little bag of this. But on the token side, YES is the one that I'm like most excited for currently. I've also been using Juice and Thruster for most of my activity that I've been doing on the trading side, but Juice has been the pretty much like standout way to get yield as well as points on Blast for me. I have a significant amount of money basically just locked up there, hanging out, making me money and points. So if you haven't checked out Juice, go do that for sure. And if you need a code, you can use, I think I have like code Hunter to get in. Helps me out. Again, don't have to do it. You could use anybody else's. Don't really give a fuck. And then I think also like the biggest takeaway and the thing that I can leave most of you with today is that the narrative and attention cycle that I've talked about is not going to stay the same. Meta that we've just seen play out and all the things I've talked about is true now. And in 24 hours, it's could be completely different. So understand that's changing. And then the other couple things that I really want to make sure you guys understand are the profits. I've talked for so many hours about investment strategy into things, how I'm allocating capital, how I'm making decisions against where I break things up, and if we take loans, how we pay back those loans. Like, the discussion of dollar cost averaging as well has been a big one. This is all stuff in. I think everybody needs to take a step back right now, especially as we've just like had like it's like if you're driving down the road and you fly past a cop and you go, oh shit, I'm about to get pulled over. So you start driving like real safe and cautious. And then the cop doesn't pull out. And then over time you start speeding up again. You're like, oh fuck it, I'm invincible. You just passed a cop, right? Like, we hit 69, we hit 3,700 on ETH, and we have this huge pullback, and people start getting liquidated, and people went, oh shit, like, it's, I'm fucked. Like, I didn't understand the difference between cross smart leverage and isolated margin. I didn't understand, like, if I had, you know, this pulled out against this, like, it could unravel on me. You need to actually have and sit down and write down a dollar cost average out thesis, a profit-taking thesis, and stick to it. Again, I know I say like some of the same shit pretty often on the show, but you need to have a thesis out as much as you have a thesis in, and you need to stick to both of those theses, even if market conditions change, because you'll get lost in the sauce, and then you'll look back, and you'll be somebody that has a mutant worth 40 ETH, not sell it, and then end up selling it for 3 ETH 2 years later if you don't have that exit strategy. And that is your strategy of, I want a exit, instead of, I'm just buying this to buy it. That's pretty much the big and juicy stuff for today's show. If you haven't, there's a link in my bio on X. If you go give the YouTube a subscribe, it helps tremendously. I'm going to start doing this show every single day. We've been doing it at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We might move it to noon just because it seems like that is a better time. If that works for you, or you want to see that change happen, let me know below, drop a comment or drop in the DMs. Yeah. And it's good to be back. It's been a long week off back in Denver, but it's good to be back in Baltimore. And yeah, we'll catch you tomorrow on the next one. And thanks for joining, everybody. I'm Punch Orell, and this is the Morning Mint. Peace.